Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. A malady is sweeping the nation, an illness with no effective medication, no clear cause, and no known cure. It starts out mild, but its effects get worse and worse, ultimately leading to death. More than 500,000 Canadians suffer from it. What is this plague? HIV? Opioid addiction? Bird flu? No, I'm talking about dementia from Alzheimer's, and patients with dementia need constant care. The Caregivers Club is a new documentary that looks at three patients with early onset Alzheimer's and dementia caused by it, and the very different decisions made by the people who care for them. There's a mother who lives in her own home with caregivers hired by her adult daughter, a wife assisted by her husband, and a man who lives in a nursing home while his wife raises their three young kids at home. The film was written and directed by noted Toronto documentarian Cynthia Banks. It's playing on CBC Docs POV this Sunday and streaming online beginning today. I spoke to Cynthia in 2016 about Reefer Riches and the legalization of cannabis, which is a great interview. And so now I'm very pleased to have Cynthia back again by telephone to tell us more about the Caregivers Club. Hi, Cynthia.
Well, hi, a cheery hello and good afternoon to you, Daniel.
Good afternoon to you, and thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you so much for caring. It's all about caring.
It's all about caring. And it is a tender, moving, sometimes surprising film. How did you first encounter these families?
It took quite a while to get our participants lined up. We had tried many hospitals, associations, nursing homes, support groups, and they were all reticent about helping us. They didn't know what our angle, in quotations, was, or what language we would use, or they didn't want to break their confidentiality, and all those things that make it so hard for a filmmaker to get access in a system these days. And it wasn't until my researcher, Liz Etherington, talked to Baycrest, the senior communications director there, Jonathan McAdow, and then Neera Rittenberg, who's an occupational therapist. And they could see our vision. They could see that what we could see is that the caregivers take so much of the burden on their shoulders. And we've really, in the last 10 years, you know, kind of taken dementia out of the closet, so to speak. We know what it is. We're not surprised by, you know, it or anybody who has it. But what needs to have a light shone on it is the caregivers who really take the brunt of this disease.
So this is Alzheimer's Awareness Month this January. So what should the caregivers know? What should they first be aware of if they suspect someone has a stage of dementia?
Well, you know, the easy answer is you take them to their doctor. I wish it was that easy because, you know, I've heard stories of that many GPs don't really know what to do after they suspect dementia. There is not a lot that can be done, actually, with the first stages of dementia or Alzheimer's. You can see a neurologist, and they can't, you know, officially diagnose until you have an MRI. And that doesn't happen with everyone. So it's a matter, of course you go to the doctor, of course you try and set your supports up, what there is in your community, and everybody has a different network in every part of this country. That's one of the main problems. We need to figure out as a whole community, how we direct public policy to get money directly into help in the system to help caregivers. So you know, it's like I'm not very good on advice about what to do. It really depends on where you are and what services are provided. Sure, to start with the Alzheimer's Society, that is, you know, probably the best place. But again, for caregivers, you know, it's about educating yourself. But once you've educated yourself, you're really, you know, you're on your own unless you have someone like a Neera Rittenberg helping you through and to navigate the system.
Most people think of Alzheimer's as a disease that affects lots of very old people. They used to just say, oh, they're senile, things like this, something associated with old age. But all the people in your film are relatively quite young. Some of them, they're physically healthy and living what we would call a normal life until this strikes. Can you talk about why you selected early onset sufferers?
Well, you know, it wasn't intentional. I was open to anyone, but you know, and profiling any good story. But as you know, when you know you go through the creative process and developing a film, and you want something all like a main story running through, which happened to be Baycrest, their connection to Baycrest. And I don't know, I interviewed people who were older. It just seemed that these people were all different enough and active enough and at the part of the state of the disease, which could show us different challenges and just for decisions. And it just happened that we're all young. Now, it does add an extra, a few extra layers of logistics for them, being kids and juggling jobs and, you know, and houses and back and forth, you know, taking kids to university and it just becomes very, very complicated, and the financial aspect of it becomes very complicated for them. But regardless of the age, whether you are younger or older, the stages and the difficulties that are encountered for this disease are the same. The one more difficult thing for older people is that their own physical health is, you know, starts to suffer, and a lot more stress on them to try and cope.
One of the stages that you mentioned in the film, you describe as a violent stage. Can you talk about that?
Well, 90% of dementia patients experience some kind of behavioral, or what they call responsive behaviors now. And that's a whole gamut of things that you can experience. I don't know the percentage of people who actually become violent and agitated.
But could you describe how it manifests itself?
Yes, just as paranoid, as aggressive, as not knowing what to do, frustrated with people who, you know, either give them direction or not. Who knows? You just don't know sometimes what will trigger that. And that's what's difficult, trying to figure out what will trigger that. And in the documentary, one of our caregivers has suffered tremendously. She kept her husband at home through every stage. And she has had broken fingers, you know, bruises.
And yeah, it's terrible.
Yes. It's been tough.
So it's a no-brainer, but your movie's called The Caregivers Club. So can you talk about the idea of support for the caregivers? We normally think of the patients, but what is the idea behind support for caregivers?
Well, as I mentioned, the big problem is we need more support. We need more money infused into the system to directly affect and help caregivers. But in some communities, there are support networks established. In larger cities, there's support networks like you will experience and see in the documentary from Baycrest. They cater to the caregiver and really support them on an individual basis. And what do you need? What are your needs right now? Because everyone is so different. In smaller communities, they may not have that larger structure, that infrastructure set up, and the money. And so it becomes the community, your neighbors, your friends, your volunteers, the, you know, PSWs who come in. And they support one another, right? Everybody makes their own decisions in this journey. And if you are a caregiver and have been 24 hours and the sole responsible caregiver for someone, you know that it's not easy, which is an understatement, and that everybody has their own level of what they can handle, what they can cope with, and that they support one another in those decisions.
Let's talk about the film for a minute. Some documentaries are all about the director, their life, impressions, encounter. You seem to prefer the fly on the wall style, where you're invisible, so you're like the camera observing the subject, so the audience can take in what you see, what you're saying. But in this film, I was interested to see one of the dementia patients always look directly at you and spoke to you, even if you're not there. So can you talk about the difficulties or the interesting things you faced having subjects with dementia in your film? I'm talking about Rafaela here.
Yeah, I never worried about that. I didn't see my communication with them or my connection really as a problem. Documentaries, we always see people, oh, they're walking into their house and they don't think there's a camera there.
Right.
Or, they're doing the dishes and there's no camera there. Well, there is a camera there, right? And I found it refreshing that they are just so instinctual, right? They are so, like, in the moment that there's a camera there.
She's a fascinating subject, especially when she is in a scene with her own mother who also has dementia. It was not making fun of them, but it was quite a enjoyable, refreshing scene.
Yes, and they, you know, they have their own way of communicating. That's what I find with dementia and Alzheimer's patients. I feel like I can really communicate with them, not on a logical level, but more on an emotional, gut, instinctual kind of energy level. I really enjoy being around people with Alzheimer's and dementia.
Finally, I wonder, I mean, this is a personal question, but was there a personal relationship you had, a member of your family or a friend perhaps who had dementia, that inspired this film?
There certainly was. My father had dementia, and my mom caregave for him for 10 years. The last couple of years were very, very difficult. The last few months was horrendous. And I was angry at the healthcare system. I was angry at the disease. I was even angry at my mom at times, because why couldn't you do a better job? You know, what was wrong? What were we doing? What weren't we doing? And I came out, when my dad passed, I came out of that angry at a lot of different things and pitched it to the CBC. But it's funny how it evolved into more of a story of love and loyalty and relationships. It's not just about caregiving. It's about relationships. And, you know, when things turn south in one, how much, you know, we all have different ways we survive and thrive as well, and how much we can take. Do we step into it more? Do we step away from it, you know? And so it became much more a documentary and story about love and family and relationships.
And what a loving story it is. Thanks so much for talking with me.
No problem. Thank you so much for caring, Daniel.
Cynthia Banks' new documentary, The Caregivers Club, is showing on CBC Docs POV this Sunday and streaming online beginning today. This is Daniel Garber, the movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.